I am unashamed. What about you?
I had an interesting weekend. I had a first. I mean, I've been on the earth longer by the day, over 50 years. I had never been to a baby shower in my life. You ever been to one?
I don't know that I've ever been to one.
He's in from Nashville.
I don't do baby showers.
I don't either, but I'm going to tell you what happened. And you, if y'all want to get on me, get on me. But my son, because his wife, my daughter-in-law, is having the baby. So they're having a baby shower.
Oh, great.
So they're here. Well, Reed said, let's go dove hunting while they're doing, the women are doing the baby shower. I was like,
well,
great.
Now you got something going on.
I love it. He had a hot lead on the doves. So he's like, meet me here, you know. So I'm GPSing. I get over there. I pull up to this nice house, and I was like, what are all these cars doing here? There's a lot of people fixing to go on this dove hunt. There's cars everywhere.
Jace, you call that female entrapment.
That's what it was. So I walked
in.
They lured you with the dove hunt.
I walked in, and I heard all this screaming, just people hollering and screaming and cheering. And I was like, what? Well, I look up, and then I see my wife sitting there. I thought, uh-oh, this is the... So Reed kind of was grinning over there, like, yeah.
All that meant was it was women who were doing the loud, not talking,
they
right?
They were. So look, I watched this
so
proceeding.
So they were saying, in women's language, we got him.
Yeah, they said, welcome, you know, and Brighton was opening presents, yeah. You know. So look, 5 minutes into this, I realized what's happened. Because to them, this was opening day of duck season. That was the comparison. Because look, that she would open a present, they'd all hoop and holler and high five and take pictures. And I thought, this is their version of opening day of duck season.
Except that you were lured in under false pretense.
Manhood is under danger, in the danger zone, the loss of manhood.
Well, I looked at Reed and I said, I thought we were going dove hunting. He's like, yeah, but I just thought, you know, you'd want to see what they do.
Yeah.
I said, well, I saw it. I've been here 5 minutes. Congratulations. This is awesome.
Did Amazing. You have a present, you know, diapers, whatever, for the baby?
No. I put Missy in charge of that. I said, what did we get her? She actually told me.
So you came without a gift.
Well, Missy had two gifts, so I figured one for each of us.
Oh, yeah.
So I had a similar moment, Jay. So we were down at the Southern Lair, and Dad's words, all of our growing up, I mean, one of the things he always said was, boys, you'll know you've lost your manhood if your butt's ever sticking up out of a flower bed. So I was...
Butt sticking up.
Do you remember saying that?
I don't even know what that means.
I was leaning over and I was pulling some weeds.
That's too far back for me to remember.
I was pulling some weeds out of the thing, and those words just like flashed into my brain. And I thought, I just backed up. I was like, I don't want to lose my manhood.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
If your butt's ever sticking out of a flower bed, boys, you've lost your manhood.
That's the beginning of the end.
I don't agree with that.
So you weathered it. How long did you stay at the
baby? 5 minutes. And I said, I'm out of here. And I didn't say bye. I just left. And so I went and got my gun. And now it made me want to just to go shoot some doves. So we go out. But it was interesting. I'm glad I did it, because now I see. I never realized this is their hunting.
Yep.
So it made me.
So you picked up a new appreciation.
Yeah. I mean, there's like some differences I've noticed throughout 30 years of marriage. I mean, it's like my wife, she can't catch or throw. You know, most all my buddies, if I say, hey, throw me the remote, they just toss it over. But my wife she doesn't have those skills. The first time I said, throw me the remote, it went by my head at about 60 miles an hour, bounced off the wall into five pieces. I said, what are you, mad? She's like, you said throw you the remote. I was like, but she's never had
sports.
She didn't
understand the toss concept.
So now we're at a point, even my kids know it. If she'll say, throw me something, I'm like, everybody stops what they're doing. I mean, the dogs look up. It's like you, she can't catch.
There's a missile coming.
Yeah, I'm like, we don't do that anymore at our house. I get up, walk over, and hand it to her and say, there you go. So anyway, there's a lot of differences.
The concept of tossing.
There's no tossing. She can't catch.
Yeah.
So I've injured her a couple times by just a light toss because she'll usually bumble, fumble, bounce off her left eye, hit the floor. It's torn up. So I was like, you know what? Let's no tossing between husband and wife. So, you know, I learned what they do at a baby shower. So it was exciting, I guess, for them. And I mean, I'm glad it's happening. So we go dove hunt. It's a pretty good little dove hunt.
So were there other men there other than Reed?
Reed just did it as a joke.
We
were going dove hunting, but he's like, come on. He just wanted me to see what they do. I mean, he thought it was funny. So he kind of pranked me.
I didn't want to see that.
I found it educational, Phil. I now understand it.
Now, what would your reaction be if me and Jace lured you up into the subdivision into a baby shower set?
Let me tell you something. I can smell a woman's gathering from 10 miles away.
I found it interesting. And, you know, it's like
it's
taking medicine,
right?
Small doses. All right. So we go shoot the doves. No, this story is just beginning.
Now the word is stay in your lane, bro.
I don't think I would ever try it, although it sounds comical that it happened. I mean, that would be pretty fun.
So here's what happens. So she's at the baby. They made it an all-day ordeal. I'm out shooting doves.
All day?
Yeah, because look, so when I'm driving home, she calls me and says, look, and I've been in the shower all day. And so I ordered a pizza. Do you mind stopping and picking it up? I thought we were having doves. But it wasn't like I'm going to. I did it.
By the way, was there any wine being served at the baby shower?
I don't know. So,
If not, there should have been.
I've moved on. They were acting, you know, they were pretty excited. So I don't know. Maybe you got a point.
Maybe it's
I mean, they were literally screaming. I mean, just like you would have thought that they were watching a game and their team was winning. And it was
it caught my attention when you said they were there all day.
Well, I don't know that, but I get it now. So look, I stop in at the pizza place and it had been like 15 minutes since she had called. And you're like, what does this got to do with anything? I'm going to explain what happened. This was a moment in society. I have breaking news. There's a society shift and I don't know what it means. I'm just going to tell you what happened. So I get in a line, you know, you just feel it. You're embarrassed. You know, you're in line to go through a drive-thru to pick up a pizza. It's kind of embarrassing for me already. So I finally get up there and I give him my name and he's like, look, we've had a lot of people. It's going to be 20 more minutes. Do you mind waiting? I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, okay, yeah, sure. So I pull around in front and I thought, I got to sit here for 20 minutes. And I thought, I got the perfect idea. I'll clean the doves, but I got it in the back of the truck. So kill two birds with one stone. So I'm in a parking lot. I lower down my tailgate. You know, feathers are flying. You know, I'm going. Well, I noticed, you ever have that feeling you're being watched? I look up and people, it's like these yuppie type people are just with mouths open. Some of them with their phones.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's on the internet.
So then about 10 minutes into this, one of the employees comes out of Johnny's. He's like, sir, can I ask you what you're doing? I said, I'm cleaning these doves I just shot. He said, oh, well, we had some complaints. I said, some complaints? What complaint? And I said, what was the complaint? He's like, well, they said there was a suspicious-looking fella out. Out in the parking
lot. Not wearing a mask, I'm sure.
No, I'm in the parking lot. And so I thought, where have we gotten in our society that a man is cleaning doves in a parking lot? And this is.
See,
this
they
is,
were saying, he's got a bird. He's yeah, a dead. We got a dead bird.
There's a man out there cleaning a bird in a pizza parking lot. So I said, well, is that a
problem?
Some
chicken got killed probably if they got pizzas, chicken, pork.
I got seven.
I mean, pepperonis.
I got seven different animals.
They didn't see him die and be sliced up.
But the pizza I ate had seven different animals in it. I got sweep the kitchen. You don't ask what's on it. It's what's not in it. I thought, what is
there
happened?
Wasn't any dove on it, I can tell you that.
No.
So I was like, so then he came back out, and I thought, here we go again. But then he had my pizzas. And I was like, okay. I said, well, I'm in this quandary. Should I eat these doves that are just clean? Or should I eat
I could
pizza?
See how it would perk up the human whatever. Because when you're cleaning doves, dove is a bird that has a lot of feathers. And they're lightweight. And to try to do it in the parking lot in front of a pizza house.
I've never thought about cleaning doves. Oh, in a parking
should
lot.
I not there were a lot of feathers coming out of the back end of that truck.
Should I not have done that?
Well,
I wouldn't have been in front of a Pizza Hut anyway. Pizza driveway
Johnny's
anyway.
Pizza.
No, it's a Johnny's.
I haven't ordered pizza.
I would think, though, in West Monroe, 30, 40 Louisiana.
Years.
Where are the hunters? What happened?
That's what I'm saying.
Hunters?
I would have thought in West Monroe, Louisiana, if a guy is cleaning birds in the back of his truck, which would be strange, but if he was, they'd say, oh, he just killed some doves.
I will have to admit, most of the people that I saw female, and they were just like, and looked kind of well-to-do, but there was a woman that had her mouth open. She looked horrified. And
She was horrified.
I nodded my head like, evening. I'm going to eat these later. Sorry.
Jace, you're having trouble with this town life.
Yeah, I know. So anyway.
Of course, it's funny that you said that you were at Johnny's, because we went to Johnny's yesterday for lunch, which I never go to the place. I mean, I usually pick up pizza, but I was after church. Bud and said, what do you got plans for lunch? And I was like, well, no, Lisa's still in Alabama. I guess I don't. And they said, well, do you want to go eat somewhere? Well, I really didn't. Because I don't like going to restaurants, especially on Sundays around here. And I said, well, let's go to Johnny's, because I had some of my grandkids. So and
for people who don't know, it's kind of a local
yeah, it's local pizza
place
that we really like.
Oh, it's good.
It's really good. So I went to Johnny's, but I noticed there was this kids up there working, but they're like, they're kids. So they're like 18 years old.
Well, do you remember when you were 18?
I do.
There you go.
But I'm like, where's the management? Because they didn't know how to wait on people. Like, they just didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, we got our pizza and all that. But I thought it's not their fault because they haven't been trained.
Al, this just in, it's hard to find good workers these days.
Right.
In our society. I don't know if it was the government giving the money or just people.
They not get managed anymore? Like, because a kid would need to know how to interact with people. And wait on them and make sure you get the order right.
I think they're just at this point.
I'm basically guiding this kid through, let's get this order done. Because he's like, he doesn't know.
Live bodies,
all those businesses are just, they don't pay a whole lot and they just got people off the street, basically.
Well, here was the
thing. They didn't have time to train them.
I mean, every fast food place you go through, except for Chick-fil-A, they don't know what they're doing. It's a crapshoot whether you're going to get what you ordered.
It's better to eat at the house and take your
time
you prepare. What the funny part was, when I get there, Missy's like, what is this on top of the box? It's the feathers that were kind of stuck to the box. Like,
with the blood on it.
Let me clean this off. Because when I grabbed the pizza, I hadn't washed my hands yet. But, I mean, they were in the boxes, you know. I was like, that's a lot.
So were you cleaning under the bird's hole? Were you breasting them?
I was breasting them, but. You know, your hands get sticky, and I didn't like I had a water faucet. I didn't want to ask them, oh, yeah, can I use your water?
Can I get a water hose? Now, that would have included Johnny's in the process.
Basically, after what it all had happened, I was thinking to myself, I need to get out of here before the law kills them. Because I guarantee you, somebody called them.
They were coming.
They're like, we're looking for someone that's out here he's taking some birds and doing something.
Most
sinister.
People don't clean game in front of a pizza parlor.
I explained this, Phil. I had nothing else to do. I thought, this is perfect. It's biodegradable. The feathers are. I didn't leave the carcasses there.
let's take a break. I think it's safe to say when you have a long spiritual journey, which we've all had, that one of the valuable things that happens along the way is wise counsel. Would that be a fair statement to say?
Wise counsel.
Very fair.
Wise counsel. Fair. And so when you're struggling or you're new or you don't know, you know, you have people in your life that give you that sort of counsel. We have been that person for other people as well, us and our wives. So we're big on counseling. It's very helpful, and especially spiritual counseling that helps people find the eternal things that help their life. So one of our sponsors is a group called Faithful Counseling. And it's a really neat concept because everything's done online, because it's not always easy to find a Christian counselor in your community. They have 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states. Text, chat, phone, video. There's a lot of different ways to be able to communicate with these guys. They're very professional and affordable. So we want you to check them out, especially if you know someone or if you are in need of some faithful counseling. So go to faithfulcounseling.com/unashamed. That's faithfulcounseling.com/unashamed. You're going to fill out a questionnaire. You're going to assess your needs, and they're going to match you with a counselor that you'll love. Faithfulcounseling.com. You get 10% off your first month for being one of our listeners. So check these guys out. Right. I just find it funny that most people, like, when they have a little bit of time on their hand, you know, they're looking at their Twitter or their Facebook or whatever. Jace is cleaning game in the back of his truck.
The redneck world is separate.
That is a bold redneck move, I have to say.
See, I'm surprised by y'all's response. I thought you would say, this is logical, this is rational, it's time.
It is.
Sensitive. I thought... I can't argue with the logic. I actually cleaned the last Dove when the pizzas came out. I mean, it was absolutely perfect.
So you were saving time.
I ate the pizza. I watched the LSU game. The Doves are tucked away. Everything was fine.
Did you ever eat the Doves? That's what
I'm eating the Doves tonight.
Oh, okay, good. So, I may need to drop by then because there's nothing better to me.
Oh, I killed 8. So that means come later.
You didn't even get a full limit of Doves.
Look, then but about 30 come in there, and we killed 20 of them.
Well, that's not
bad. I said, well, look, I killed the most, so I was thinking, let's pool our Doves. But Reed was like, no, I'm eating these Doves. I mean, he had his 5 or 6 there.
Yep.
I was like, hey, every man for himself.
I've been hungry for them ever since I saw a Realtree ad.
Well, people have gathered for the Teal Fest because we have a front coming in. So I'm predicting... Because Jay and Cy, they headed south after today's hunt. They're going to the marsh. But we shot
to teal hunt?
Yeah, to teal hunt. And they want a redfish. But I'm like, why would you leave when the greatest day is fixing to happen? Because we have a major front coming in. I say major. For here, when it drops 20 degrees, that's major.
Yeah,
especially this time of year. Yeah. I mean, this morning, the temperature was 73? Well... Wednesday morning, today's Monday, it's going to be 53.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you,
and it doesn't take much to move teal. A little bit of weather pushes them.
They're coming.
So guess what Jay said? He said, you're trying to use that FOMO on me, the fear of missing out. I was like, no, you're going to miss out. So I tried to bet him $100 that we're going to full limit in the next 2 days, but he wouldn't take
the bet.
He said him and Cy are going... To the mall. He said, I know we're going to get them down there.
Well, that's true. They're everywhere down there. So I get a text last night. It was funny. And from a friend of mine in Houston, but he was in the Dallas airport, and he sends me a picture and says, do you know this guy? And it was Cy in the Dallas airport, but he was laid out under some chairs.
Sleeping. I've seen him do it many times.
I got to think about it. I said, I guess it's his military background. You know, those guys, military, you got to catch some winks
no,
when you
it's
got
not
it.
That. It's a size so that he's like a roller coaster. He's either way up or way down.
Where did he go?
He was coming from somewhere. I think he did an event. And I sent the picture to Philip. I said, are you a Cy? Because people now are sending me pictures of Cy in the airport. And then he sent me a picture of him from his vantage right on top of him. Cy's laying there. He's got his tea next to him. And he said, yeah, we're stuck here. I guess they got stuck because of weather.
Al, I've been on a plane before with Cy. And he slept so hard that he's snoring so loud that everybody on the plane was like, there's a guy up there. I mean, he can sleep.
So he slept through. We went to Minnesota to do an event, and we were having trouble. I could tell we got up to that point where we should have. It was on a private jet, but we got to that point where we should have just took on off. But all of a sudden, we're not taking on off, and I was like, I'm looking, I'm watching up front. I was like, something's happening here. And the guy that owns the charter service was actually on the plane with us because this was the first time they'd taken this jet out. And so he goes up there, and they're having a little conference, you know.
While it's in flight?
While we're in flight. We just took
fuel
off.
Pump.
Mountain man, me, Si, and Lisa. And so Bullock comes back there, and he was like, yeah, we got some kind of issue with the thing. I think we're going to have to divert and land in Iowa. We were coming from Minnesota. And so size.
You should have got Mountain Man to work on. That's what he does.
I don't want Mountain Man work on anything where my life depends on the result.
He'd be fine as long as you don't try to get him to do it in a hurry.
That's right. So anyway, so size sleeping through the whole thing. So we go along for a little bit, and so I thought, okay, I guess we're fixing to land. And then all of a sudden, then we take on off. And they go back up, have another huddle. He comes back and says, well, we're all good. Right. And I was like, all right. What so Si wakes up about an hour into the deal there, the 45 minutes. I said, Si, you missed all the excitement. We thought we were going to divert to Iowa. He went, Yeah. That was it.
I'd love to know what Mountain Man said.
Mountain Man never stopped talking. He was sitting next to me. And, you know, I don't get to see Mountain Man a lot. So it was just, he talked the entire time.
That's nightmare.
Oh, my Well, Jason. All right, what are we talking about today? That was nonsensical, but it was a busy weekend.
It was. And I just got back in town. So
and you preached. I came and
I preached yesterday.
You did good.
I preached Matthew 3 and 4.
You are behind from the podcast.
Yeah, I know. We got to catch up on our preaching, which I'm hoping we're going to get there with the now that we're into the
Sermon. Where are we at?
We're in Matthew 6 is where we are.
Okay.
Preaching-wise, we only just got to 5. But I found out that our old pal Mac Owen is going to be here in a couple of weeks and preaching at WFR. They're having a big, like, 20-year CR. And we've been doing CR for 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And Mac started it. So he's coming back, and we've hired a couple of new guys to run it. And so Mac's going to kind of coronate the situation. So he's going to be in town and preach, which will be fun. So I'm working on that. I want you to preach. And I'm just telling Dad this on the podcast. So it's kind of funny. When we get to Matthew 13, I want you to preach at WFR on the parable of the sower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's
I think Dad would be that. Really, really good on that one. So I've been kind of wanting you to get back at WFR because everybody misses you. Like, you're doing your work across the river, but everybody's like, where's Phil? Where's Phil? So we got to get him in on preaching. So I think it'll be good. So we're in Matthew 6, Jase.
All right.
We're on the Sermon on the Mount. We thought Zach was coming in. Did he ever come in, John? Nothing. Zach is, I mean.
He'll be here for the next one.
He's technically challenged.
So we'll see if he should.
Well, I had a thought about this Matthew 6. This might be a good lesson for you. Maybe a little cheesy. But these three things, giving to the needy, prayer, fasting, he uses the same term. Well, he uses two phrases over and over in each illustration. He says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then I think it also says the Father who is unseen.
Verse
6.
Yeah.
Yeah. So same thing. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's a verse 4. Then verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then
18.
Same thing. Yep. When you fast, fast so only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I mean, usually when the Bible repeats itself mm-hmm. over and over, and he's using these illustrations, he's trying to make a point here. So actually, I thought about, you know, the secret agent world in our world. Mm-hmm. When you think of secret agent, you think of these, which I like movies.
It's interesting that he said, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans.
Yeah.
For they think they will be heard because of their many words. what he was saying is, don't do that.
Yeah.
But it comes down to a
heart. They weren't really praying.
Right.
It was just a show.
They were speaking to be heard.
But they also are saying that God doesn't see what's going on in my head.
Yeah.
Because he knows that you're just babbling, so people will say, oh, boy, this guy is so talented. He can.
Yeah. Well, hadn't you seen that before? Let's take another break. So, Jace, when is the last time you think that you had American meat?
Yesterday. I caught some fish in Willie's pond.
I guess technically that
came out of America.
Okay. That did come out of America.
Is fish still meat?
And yeah, it is. Okay, well, it's meat or pescatarian, so it's good either way. Yeah. Chances are, though, for most people that ate some beef or possibly pork, they didn't realize that 80% of grass-fed beef sold in the U.S. is imported from overseas.
Whew.
I did not realize that. So they claim it's from here, but only because they process it here. So one of our sponsors is a great company called GoodRanchers.com, and they're going to deliver American craft beef and better than organic chicken. Is their claim. Hmm. So you want to check these guys out. And look, all these are fed, raised, and, you know, prepared on American soil. So you know what you're getting. You go to goodranchers.com. You can buy now or you can subscribe, and then they'll send you meats, you know, on a regular basis. You're going to save 20% on each box of mouth-watering meats. If you subscribe, you bring the cost down to less than $5 a meal. So it's a pretty good deal. Plus, you get an additional $20 off and free express shipping if you go to goodranchers.com/Phil. Use the code Phil when you check out. That's $20 off, free express shipping at goodranchers.com/Phil. Check them out. Hadn't you seen that before, like with politicians? You'll see a guy get up, and they'll go into their stump speech, and their stuff's flowing out of their mouth, and you're listening, but you're realizing they don't really mean anything they're saying. Yep. It's just that's the speech.
That's
the speech that some consultants and people have said, this is what you need to say. And that's the way it is if you're praying and you're not really speaking to God, but you're just doing it for the pleasure of your audience. I mean,
you could memorize the Bible and be as lost as a goose.
Yeah. You remember, Jason, we had a guy preach years ago, and he was impressive. Like he knew a lot of, he just quoted scripture after scripture. He was preaching, and he went for like an hour. And when he got through, I thought, well, that was impressive that he knew a lot of scripture, but I don't know what he was talking. Like, yeah. There was never a point.
About years ago, I hear people like that all the time.
And I was listening, and you told me, there's Zach. He just piped in.
I heard everything. Zach, I heard everything you were saying about
me. A few
minutes
late. Yeah. Boy, early bird.
We're only
gets
26 minutes into the podcast.
You missed my dove bird story, but that's.
Actually, yeah, everything you missed was no good anyway. So.
Here's
what I think.
What? Say again.
I said, I did hear you talking about me, though. Somebody said I was technically challenged. Was that you, Jace?
I said that.
I heard all that.
Is that not true?
Well, we had a technical challenge this morning, so it's true.
Thank you. I call it like I see it. There's no sugarcoating.
So here's what I think.
The Kitty Podcast is down the street.
And I'll interject this.
It's called the Duck Call Room.
I'll interject this after, in lieu of reading Matthew 5, which we covered, salt and light, the Beatitudes, the salt and light, murder, fulfillment of the law, divorce, oaths. And then you get into chapter 6. Here's what occurred to me. If you listen to what the Apostle Paul later on was saying, when Jesus was talking to these people, he's talking to people who have been under a strict code law for 1,500 years. Now, you talk about churches, you know, and they come up with their old habits and they form these creeds. Just think about 1,500 years being under a code of law. Two little things stood out to me. When the Apostle Paul is talking and he gets to Galatians chapter 5, he's talking to the church at Galatia. He talked about the acts of the sinful nature. That's verse 19 and about 20. He gets to 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, you're talking to law keepers who've been under law over here when Jesus is talking for 1,500 years. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you take, you read the Beatitudes, and then you read this right here, but there's one little statement at the end of that. He says, against such things, there is no law. The people Jesus was talking to, that was the problem. And you say, so what's he trying to tell them? What he's trying to tell them is, it's fake. And then you read Romans 13, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. It's interesting that in the Beatitudes, not one word about love. You would think, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, the kingdom that will be done. And
but chapter, it's more.
Chapter 5, I mean, those who mourn, they are poor in spirit. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. They are merciful. They're loving. But it goes without saying, you say, you won't be that way if you're devoid of love for God and your neighbor. So when he gets to 13, the little caveat comes up again. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Well, that's the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
You said that's his point. But he's talking to law keepers thinking they're saved by a code, and you understand why they're sitting there saying, what we missed. Jesus is saying, you missed it all.
Yep.
If you go down the road, if you stay on that road, he's showing them how it's supposed to be by watching him,
right,
and how they should be. And he ends it up by saying, therefore, just like the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5, he says, love is the fulfillment of the law. So all these things you see in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and all of these things about, look, you've heard it said, they're law keepers.
Right.
And that's the way they viewed it. He says, it's not deep enough. It's not from your heart. Right. You have to have a change of heart in order to be like this. And above, and the thing that stands out, you must love your brother. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, wow. Say, call it meek, searching for rights into doing this. But he's really saying, learn how to love each other. And to this day, most destructive force in all of humanity, the lack of love for God and their neighbor, which is why they're the greatest commands in the Bible. I just thought I'd interject that.
No, I think you're right, Dad. And to prove that point, I wasn't here when Zach was hosting the podcast when y'all were talking about John the Baptist back in Matthew 3. But you remember John the Baptist is preaching this message of repent, the kingdom of heaven. People are being baptized. I mean, it's an exciting time. And all of a sudden, these people that Jesus is addressing, they walk up mainly to see what's going on, to see if they approve
that
of what
correct.
John is doing. And he turns on them and says, you brood of vipers, who warned you of the coming? So
that's my point.
Just the fact of the way they live their lives, it irritated John the Baptist to the point that he just hammers them.
Yeah.
You know, when he first sees it. And you'd think as a preacher, you'd be like, well, do you not care about these people? Wouldn't you try to reach them? But he's like, no, you're false. You're hypocrites.
The love of God and his mercy and his grace, it's unknown to them.
Right.
It's keep the code, and they were claiming they were keeping it. But yep. Jesus said, not one of you ever.
Well, they can't keep the code. I think that's the big dichotomy here is that you got one side, the law, which is basically based on what you can do.
Yep.
Well, you mentioned that Galatians 5 passage. I always point this out because I think it's important that it is called the fruit of the Spirit.
Correct.
It's not our fruit. Now we submit to the Spirit, but we're not conjuring up these things in our life. And I think anybody, if I said, hey, you just need to be patient. Well, how in the heck do I conjure up patience? You need to have joy. You can't conjure these things up. These are works of the Spirit in us. He produces them. All we do is submit.
Right.
So the life by the law is a man-produced works and salvation or whatever it is, which is not going to happen, which leads to all the virtue signaling and the Pharisaical, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then the other side is a submission to the Spirit. It's an admission that I can't do it, but Jesus did do it on the cross, and by the Spirit, He produces these things in me.
And they didn't have the Spirit indwelling them when they were under law, which it begins to make sense. They needed some more help than they were getting. You see what I'm saying,
Al? That's the whole point of Jesus coming. Let's take a break, Jace. You got something. So we talked about kind of being a weird sort of feeling like end of times, you know, with kind of what's going on in our culture. It feels like there's a lot of collapse going on. When you say that, I mean, you kind of watch and see what's happening.
No doubt.
So, you know, one of our sponsors that has been with us from pretty much the beginning, they started in 2012, is a company called Patriot Mobile. And so their claim to fame, so to speak, is that they're the only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage, use all the same towers as the major carriers, but they don't carry along that left-wing ideology that you find in most of the carriers for mobile. So Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget. They're 100% U.S.-based customer support group. They're very helpful. They're going to like what you like. So if you want to check these guys out, go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. You're going to get free activation if you use the offer code Phil. And also, they have special discounts for veterans, first responders. So obviously a great company. Check them out, patriotmobile.com/Phil.
Well, to get back to my secret agent point, which is the exact opposite of what we think of secret agents, we think of this action adventure and these, you know, you're finding the crime, and they make movies about this stuff. When you look at what these guys were doing, I put down here trumpets, street corners, and disfigured faces because he led each section. Like in chapter 6, he says, when you give to the needy, verse 2, do not announce it with trumpets. You just think how much we do that. Like if you're doing a special calls or something, we got the trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we're doing. Well, then he says in the next section, when you pray, don't go out on the street corner to be seen by men. Then he gets to the fasting. He's like, don't disfigure your faces to show men that you're fasting.
It's all fake, fake.
Well, but
fake.
It's done to please people or elicit sympathy. You know, you're like, oh, you poor thing. It's attention from other people. And it made me think about this verse in Galatians 1:10. That says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? I think that's a question a person, a disciple of Jesus, should ask himself.
Which ties in with the fruit of the Spirit.
Every day. Yeah. He should ask that. Am I trying to win the approval of people or of God? Just think if you applied that to a cell phone and to young people. Are you trying to win God's approval or people? I mean, would it change how you operate on the cell phone?
That's a good point.
Obviously, it would. Then he says, or am I trying to please men? Now, there's a profound statement, this next one. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And to me, that's where I was going with
that. What verse was that?
That's Galatians 1:10. But that's where I was going with that secret agent. It's you're God's secret agent. He sees what's done in secret. A lot of times people may not even think you just came out of a closet praying or that you hadn't eaten in, you know, 30 hours. And because we can't help it. When we do something, we want to tell people, like, hey, yeah, we're fixed to do this or that. Because you got to ask yourself, am I, God knows. He knows my heart. He knows what I'm doing. I think that's what he was trying to say in this.
Right.
But it's an easy thing to hear. It's hard to put into practice.
And you're right. People tend to brag. It's one of my favorite lines from a movie. It's from a movie called Broadcast News. and there were journalists. It was kind of an inside look at, like, if you were looking behind the scenes at CBS or one of those. It was a really well done movie. But one of the reporters who just couldn't, he was really good at his job, but he just didn't have the camera presence. And he's talking to William Hurt, this broadcaster who, you know, didn't know anything about journalism, but he had the look. He had the twinkle in his eye when he looked at the camera. He had all the fake stuff that gets you on television news. And so this guy, he's so jealous because he's like, oh, this guy, like, he's just falling into being this main anchor, and he doesn't even know what he's talking about. And so the William Hurt character looks at the other guy, and he says, what do you do when your life exceeds your dreams? Which, think about that question. He's like, what, you know, my life is so good. Like, what do you do? And the guy said back to him, he said, keep it to yourself. And such a good line, because it's like, we don't want to hear about how good you are. We know you've fallen into this position. You're, you know, everybody's loving you. You and I know you don't know what you're doing. And so I think about that when I think about this text. It's like people that have an appearance, but really everybody knows. For sure, Jesus knew when he's talking to him. John the Baptist knew because he calls him out. And really, the other people knew too. But then at the same time, they're just like, well, I guess that's what we're supposed to be like.
Well, there's a lot of there's like cultural pressure, I think, that comes. I think this is the equivalent to Matthew 6 in 2021 is the virtue signaling. It's the same thing that these guys were doing. We're going to signal that we have all this virtuous life, but we really don't. And you see it on social media a lot. I'm glad Jace brought up what we do on our cell phone. Because when our avatars on social media are having these big debates, and it's one continual, like it's just pharisaical. It's look at me, how virtuous I am, and the where the gospel. I think that's why I think the gospel is so applicable today, because more than ever, because the gospel puts you on your face before a holy God, because it says you don't have anything to bring to the table. The gospel has a way of crumbling our pride and putting us into a posture of humility. And I think in 2021, what would be very disruptive is if we did have that posture of humility. And what I think is interesting about Matthew 6 is right smack dab in the middle of all this virtue signaling from the Pharisees. If you look at verse 14, this is why it matters, because he says, if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you of your transgressions. And it's funny to me that when we posture ourselves up, and as Phil said, we're faking it, it is interesting to me that leads to an unforgiving heart of other people.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Because we postured ourselves up as if we're something that we're not, and that's when we treat everybody else harshly, and we don't have a posture of forgiveness, where if we were to humble ourselves and realize that it's only accomplished through Christ, it puts me in a posture now where I got to forgive people because I'm looking at what I did and what I continue to do.
They quickly condemn.
Yeah. Well, that's the tenet, right, of a legalist, is you don't have any room for forgiveness because you're tallying up the score of what people are doing wrong. Let's take our last break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0? My annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee. Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
Yeah, it's the modern equivalent. The virtue signaling is the modern equivalent of the Pharisees, and the cancel culture is the result of what happens when we live in a culture of virtue signalers, just like the Pharisees. They were condemning everybody. Well, same thing today. Everybody's condemned.
What's the cancel culture?
You'll have to read Phil's new book on that, Jace.
Oh. Uncanceled. Coming out February 8th.
They're quick to pass judgment from people who might have sinned possibly 200 years ago.
Well, everybody sinned.
So they dream it up and they say, for that sin, we will tear what left of your statue down and we will hate you the rest of your life because of what you did here. There is no forgiveness, none.
None.
Just condemnation.
The little boy that was on American Idol, they found a picture of him when he was like 12 years old. And a guy in the picture with him had on a hood. I don't know the whole story, but I think that it was about a, I mentioned this on the podcast before. It was a, they were reenacting a movie called The Strangers, but somebody said that that hood could look like a KKK costume, so they canceled, they kicked him off American Idol. So he was in a picture with a guy who had on something that could look like, and it's just like, you turn around, you say something 10 years ago, and you're done. Like, well, it doesn't matter.
Zach, the guy from Jeopardy. So he was taking over Jeopardy for Alex Trebek, but they found a podcast he did about 12 years ago, and I hadn't even heard it. I don't know what he said, but he said something on the podcast that the group didn't like, and they canceled him. Like, now, not only does he not get to host Jeopardy, they fired him, and he doesn't even get, he was executive producer of Jeopardy for all these years.
That's the mind of the Pharisees.
That's it.
When Jesus.
Well, that's exactly right.
His replacement almost got canceled. The girl from, what was she on?
Oh, yeah, she was on Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, and so
there's
she had
show
some...
named Big Bang Theory?
Are you kidding
and
me?
And you watched it?
Oh, says the man who cleaned doves in the Johnny's Pizza parking lot.
No, I've been serious.
There is a show called, and it was a huge hit, Jace, by the way.
Well, how did I miss that?
Jace, where have you, Jace, he hadn't heard of cancel culture. He hadn't heard of Big Bang Theory.
Well, I'd heard cancel culture. I just couldn't remember what the deal was. But I hadn't heard that there was a show called The Big Bang Theory. I mean, seemed like that would have came up.
It was about a bunch of...
It was all about the bang and how...
Well, it was a bunch of nerds. They were like nerd scientists.
Oh, they figured out the bang.
I guess so.
I
never watched the show.
Did they answer how the chicken got here? That's all I want to know.
I don't know if they ever did. So Zach, I was curious. So do you think this, we were talking about this idea about people being fake, and it just hit me. There's like the new shows I'm just seeing, you know, you watch a ball game or something, you see these new shows. So the current reality trend, I mean, one time we were a reality trend, but...
Hey, we're coming back.
We're coming back. That's right.
I'll give you a report on that at another time.
We're coming back with Treasure Hunt. So, like the show The Masked Singer, which is popular.
Yeah, y'all are talking about stuff I've never heard of.
And then you got another one now that you said Avatar a minute ago. So, what made me think about it? So, now you got another one coming out where there's singers are singing, but it's avatars. They're like, it's not real people.
What's an avatar, Al?
It's like a representation of you, but it's like an animated creature or
like
something
like a cartoon.
That. Like cartoon. So, but now that's real popular. Do you think that is linking into this societal thing about it's because everything's so fake? Because every time I'm in a restaurant, I was in Pittsburgh last weekend, a couple weekends ago, I'm looking out the window of this restaurant I'm eating, and I'm watching three teenage girls taking pictures of each other on the sidewalk.
You can see that on every street corner.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
America.
Right. But they were
there
doing
were people taking pictures of me of those doves. I'm sure someone out there has a picture of me cleaning
But that's because
doves.
You're a curiosity. They were doing it because they were like the poses they were doing. I was watching them and I thought, what are they doing? And then I realized all these are going to go on Instagram or whatever social media. And I just thought, it seems so fake to me. So, I mean, is that why these things are popular, you think? Because we're just kind of in a fake society now? People wearing masks?
I don't think it just happened. I just think it's a different way to... I mean, I think, like, the plastic surgery market has been on the upswing the last 20, 30 years. I mean, it's the same concept because you look around and say, oh, I'm getting old. And they're like, well, if you pay somebody... They can do some yanking and some tugging, and you won't look like that.
Once you take Jesus off the premises, once you reject Jesus and his teachings, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, For at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things.
Yep.
Well, right. That goes back to that Galatians 1 I read.
There's your cancel culture.
If you were
culture.
Trying to please people only, you wouldn't be following Jesus. There's the difference. I mean, that's why I brought
yeah,
that
can't.
Up.
You can't.
Well, I think doesn't work that way.
Yeah, the social media thing, yeah, I think that's right. I think people are, I mean, we do live in a very fake culture to the point where now I think everybody even knows that it's fake. And then it becomes like a the Matrix kind of, or that movie Inception, where there's like different layers to yep. like to it. And I think everybody knows it's fake, but we still participate in it, kind of like that story, The Emperor's Clothes. You know, the emperor pretended like nobody or everybody was wearing clothes, but they weren't.
Yep.
And everybody knew that they weren't wearing clothes, but then they acted like they were because they didn't want to you know offend the emperor. And then this whole society basically emerges. I think that's kind of where we're at, but. I also see like gaps in it. This is why I get excited, because I always see gaps for the kingdom. And so I think that people are, I think we've pushed so far with this virtual world and the cancel culture and the virtue signaling that the weight now is so overwhelming that nobody can carry it, which is great for us as kingdom people, because we actually have a solution that you don't have to carry it. In fact, we're saying, yeah, we're all fake. I'm fake. You're fake. Let's repent. Let's turn to the living God, and let's cast all our burdens on Him. So I think we're actually primed for revival. You know, I really do. I think that because people cannot carry the weight of what the society has put on them.
But you have to focus on Jesus, because you're not going to fix the world's problems through argumentation that's not going to happen. I mean, I think that's why basically when you read Romans, the first three chapters, it's real depressing. But he did start off six times saying, I got good news and I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. And then he basically showed you what happens when a culture deteriorates
right.
and loses their moral compass and doesn't give glory to God. And God is allowing it to happen. So us as humans will realize how bad a shape we're in.
You read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and the last thing you'll come up with is you must go to church. That you just wouldn't say it like that.
Right.
It's far deeper than that.
Well,
your life, wherever you are a worshiper of the Almighty, and your trust is in Jesus.
Well, we're living
son.
In a culture where if you say go to the church of your choice or whatever,
house of worship.
That'll be fine. But if you like do a YouTube video and you read Romans chapter 1, just read it. That's going to be on there about 5 minutes, and somebody's going to take that off.
That's correct.
That's why I was asking what cancel.
That's the bigger issue.
They're
right
going to cancel the reading of that because they would say that was mean and judgmental.
Well, see, and I preached yesterday about the temptation of Jesus by the evil one, and I hadn't really thought about it before until I preached it this last time, but I don't think it was an accident that Satan took Jesus to the highest point of the temple and read scripture to him and challenged him to throw himself down. The idea was this is the most holy place. You know, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you do this? And so I think that's a challenge to exactly what you're talking about, Dad, that people think the appearance of being at a place is enough.
Wrong.
When you haven't submitted to Christ.
Oh, I agree. And it's kind of socially acceptable. But that's why I'm saying. But a lot of people, they read Romans 1 and it would get canceled. But if you get to, you're like, just let me get to chapter 3 and verse 20 and it's all going to make sense. Just hang on. Hang in there. Well, let me get there.
We're going to
work. It'll work. Give it time.
Yeah, I was thinking of that where Romans 5. Because we're talking about where sin has increased, particularly in the tech sphere, cancel culture, all that stuff with monitoring on YouTube, the censorship. But I'm always reminded that where sin increases, Paul says grace increases all the more.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that how that works. Like what we're doing here, we're using the same technology. Now, yeah, we get censored, which, by the way, that's why you got to leave comments on our iTunes, on the iTunes app. Make sure that you guys are liking us on Facebook and on Instagram and YouTube. When you do that, it helps us in the algorithm, by the way. So if you want to believe in what we're doing here, then that's how you help. But we're helping. Like, people are hearing the gospel. I had this preacher, A lady reached out to me probably 6 months ago, listened to the podcast, and she wanted to be baptized. And she was going to drive up here to be baptized because she lives like 2 hours away. But I felt like she needed to be engaged in a church. So I found a local church, called the pastor. He said, yeah, I'll study with her. And he's I never heard anything else about it. I gave her his cell phone. He texted me this week, such a cool story, and said that she, 6 months ago, that he connected with her. She was baptized. Her entire family started coming to the church. He said they're all on fire for Jesus, and said that the whole family's here, multi-generational difference here because of what we're doing. And so I love that because he said, you guys are doing kingdom work. So she's doing it. She sees the kingdom outside the build, but she's meeting with a body of believers and being disciples. So what the devil may want to take and use for his kingdom, God's redeeming that for his kingdom. Does that make sense?
It's good. Yeah. I love it. All right, we're out of time. Zach, are you going to hang with us and be here for the next podcast?
Yep, I'll be here.
All right, perfect. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.